In the shadow of Rockford Tower, behind enemy lines, in the belly of the Delaware Way Beast. This is Rob. This is your Highlands Bunker podcast. I'm going to warn everybody right now. I'm in a mood. I'm in a little bit of a mood. There's a lot of reasons for it. Maybe we'll get into some of it. But I needed, you know, we've done some big shows, and I needed like a chill down. And so we're going skeleton crew. It's me in the bunker with filling in for K. Farshad Stromberg on assignment. He's on special assignment. We can't talk about it. Is Bill Martin. Bill, thank you.
Sure. Good evening, Rob. And I was thinking on the way over, I think this is episode 302. And dare I say it, maybe 302 is a more important episode, a more important milestone than episode 300. But you know what? I'm just happy to be a participant in both.
Nice. Yeah, speaking of that, man, what was your, we kind of talked about it when Steve left after recording the 300th one, and he left, he walked him out, came back, I was like, man, I didn't think I would be doing that.
Yeah.
That was fun.
It was very fun. He was generous with his time, and I thought it, like, honestly went really as well as it could have.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. One of the things we're going to do is we're going to do a little plug show. So this is plug number one. Not only was Steve very generous with his time, there's 50 minutes of bonus episode of bonus content. We talked to Steve about like weird libertarian things and like goofy stuff, and it's fun. And that's up there as well. But it's for patrons only.
I recall he like accurately diagnosed all of the problems of this nation, like kind of in like language that I would use, and I think you would use as well.
Yeah.
And then we were like, I think you were like, oh, so you voted for Bernie, right? And he was like, oh, hell no.
He was like, well, that's not, and I'm like, no, you, he was like, well, you got to figure out the problem. I was like, you just said the problem.
Yeah.
Just like, you literally
like,
just said
better
it.
Better than most Democrats, actually. I thought that he articulated the problems.
Yeah, we never really got into it. And this is probably like a good segue into like the first thing I wanted to talk about was this incident in Bear at the Royal Farms, where a woman was pulled over ostensibly for improper lane changes and expired tags. But the there was a standoff at the car. She wouldn't get out of the car. She was scared. She didn't want to. They had words, and 4 minutes go by. Another cop finally gets there, and she decides, okay, I'm going to get up. She stands up, and they just set upon her, you know, and just beat her, you know, beat her down. Another fourth officer jumps in. And I was thinking about, like, what Steve said. About, like, we ask the police, we tell them to do this. Like, we tell them, this is what you can do. If you're there, do this and that and the other. You can do all this stuff. It doesn't really matter if it serves a particular purpose. It serves the purpose that you do it, to show the public that you can do this. So whether it's, like, productive or not, or it serves some sort of purpose, the purpose it serves is to menace the public so that you, you know, comply. And that was what Steve said. He was like, we tell the cops to do kind of stupid stuff when we should be, you know, doing, you know, healthcare or early childhood food programs and housing. And I'm like, yeah, okay.
Okay, we're getting
so,
there.
So, but I'm like, are you saying, like, I don't want to do that? So the way I took it, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but I did sort of take it like, okay, you know, we send the cops and the criminal justice system out to like control stuff, and it's not good, but there's no other, like, we have to have them do that. Like, yes, you might not like to see people getting pulled out of their car and beaten down by, you know, armed agents of the state, but, you know, I'm not paying more taxes, so this is what we got. I kind of said that too. I was like, yeah, you don't want to pay like $3,000 more in tax for the year. He's like, oh, no, no, no. So it's just weird. But yeah, patrons only, $5, $10 a month. You can get that episode. We're going to probably be doing more patrons only stuff. We have a few things up, but you support the team, so that would be nice.
Yeah, we still have what do we have in the queue? The board game about fuck, what's the date? January 5th?
January 6th.
6th, okay.
Storm the Capitol.
That's right. Yeah,
so if anybody knows the TruAnon podcast, they developed a full board game of storming the Capitol. And I think we might have mentioned this, but Bill and Jess own that game. And so we're going to have a game night at some point with the regulars, and we're going to play Storm the Castle, and we're going to try to get to the top of the castle and be helicoptered off by, I don't know, Palestinian Islamic Jihad. I don't even know. But it just looks funny. You know, it's just goofy stuff. Because January 6th, I mean, maybe we'll talk about the Biden stuff and all of that, like, at the end as something fun. But yeah, I mean, January 6th was funny when it was happening, and my outlook on it has not changed. Still very funny. Sorry. I don't know what else to say. Like thousands and thousands of people stormed the Capitol, beat up the cops, and accomplished nothing.
Nothing.
They got one person fucking domed. Like hundreds of them are probably in prison, or, you know, there's different stuff's working through the criminal justice system, but like... They didn't accomplish anything. You know, it's just weird. So, yeah, we're going to be playing Storm the Castle. That'll be fun. Storm the Capitol. That'll be fun. So, plug number two is next week, if you're listening to this on Friday, next Tuesday, the 16th, at the Route 9 Library, the Newcastle County Police Accountability Board is going to meet. And based on, you know, some of the incidents that have happened, I think it's important that, you know, if you have a story to tell, or even if you don't and you just want to go and sit in solidarity with people who are going to tell their stories and see sort of people making public statement, I think it would be a good thing to go to. So, again, we'll put a link to that, too. It's going to be at the Route 9 Library next Tuesday, the 16th at 6:30 to 8, I believe it is. But we'll put the flyer up there so you guys can check that out. I will be there. So, yeah, come by, say hi, and then watch people yell at the police. Yeah, so I went to the press conference for this.
Right.
For this incident. So the woman who was the driver of the car, and again, I guess maybe we'll put a trigger warning up, but we'll post the video. Have you watched all the video?
Not all, what, it's like 4 or 5 minutes.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I mean, not to jump ahead or like confuse things, but like it's the sensation I get trying to watch something like that is like the debate. It's like it just kind of makes like my, it hurts, you know?
I'm with you, man.
I knew as soon as I turned off both of them, like what was going to proceed, like what was going to continue to happen. And I was like, I don't know. My tummy hurts.
I know. I did not like. I know that when people die, I can't watch it really. I just can't. I knew because I had seen like the grainy cell phone video, so I already kind of knew. And for good or for ill, it's like my job now. So I was at the shore, but I forced myself to watch most of it. Like, you know, the different angles actually don't really show you too much other than what you already knew was sort of happening. So, you know, I don't know if you need to go into all of that. One of my takeaways was funny. Like, did you watch all the caveats at the beginning?
I think so. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the caveats, so they're like, well, first they have to tell you, like, why you see that, but you don't really see it. Like, yeah, you see all this, but you don't really know. I mean, the camera's at a certain angle and, you know, anything. So they got to give you all the bullshit caveats, like, so you question kind of the stuff that you see. And plus, like, you don't know that we had the right to do this. So, like, it looks bad, but legally, yeah, we can kick that person in the face, so that's fine. But they're like, the cops behind the car on Route 40. And they're like, well, there's like some like dangerous lane changes or improper lane changes. They run the tag. The tag's expired or registration's expired. And there's a third thing. They say, I don't know if you heard this. They were like, they noticed a bullet hole in the car, the body of the car, that had like police evidence markings around it that made it very suspicious. And so then after all of these caveats and all of this setup, we get to the incident. So there's some dash cam footage. There's some, you know, calls back and forth to, like, base or whatever. And then they get to the situation. he immediately is like screaming, "Get out of the car! Get out of the car!" She's like, "What? I want to know what happened first. What the fuck is going on? You've been behind me. I don't even know why I've been pulled over. Like, what's going on?" But once the cops said, "Get out of the car," it was like it didn't matter, because the cops have to prove that you have to do what they say. And so the fact that then he tries to open the door swings open, but the cop kind of falls backwards. So now he's like 5 feet away and the door's open. So there's kind of like a standoff. He didn't want to go forward, and she's like sitting back. And for 4 minutes, they just argue. And she's asking for an attorney. She's asking for a supervisor. She's telling him to go fuck himself.
And that's why she is still seated, sort of like sideways down out of her vehicle.
She reaches back. She just says, "I'm going to reach back and try to make a phone call. I'm going to do whatever." And, like, obviously, while she's arguing and cursing, she's just sitting there. Like, it's pretty clear that there's no, other than being, like, sort of, like, relatively uncooperative, she's just fucking arguing with the guy. So then another cop shows up after 4 minutes, and she decides, okay, it's not a supervisor, but there's enough people here. I'm going to get up and sit on the curb, and we can straighten this out. As soon as she gets up out of that seat, they set upon her like a fucking pack of wolves. And the weirdest thing was, I don't know if you noticed this, the second angle, the second police officer, I think it's the second, could have been the third, but I'm pretty sure it's the second, comes up to the scene, and obviously the argument's going on. And you see him putting on, like, these gloves, putting on, like, jujitsu gloves because he's getting ready to, like, throw down. And I'm like, these people are fucking sickos. You can see it right there. Like, this guy's like, he's like, "Yeah, we're going to beat this woman up," who's literally just sitting there like there's no threat to anyone around. She's not being violent. The only thing was he said get out of the car and she didn't. And so the cops have to prove a point.
It's against the law.
It's against the law. Supreme Court says it. The things that I learned at the press conference were not great.
And where was this again?
This was downtown? In the Igwe firm is representing the driver. They have an office in One Commerce Center at 12th and Orange. But they have an office on one of the floors, and then the other floor is like a huge conference room and like break room and stuff like that. So they had it in a huge conference room on another floor. So again, I kind of knew this was a thing, but after they make the statement, very first fucking question, Esteban Parra, absolute fucking dumbass. And again, I know why he's asking, because if you write the story or you look at the video and you look at the comments on YouTube or the comments on your story, every fucking chud in Middletown and fucking Western Sussex and everywhere is just like,
"Ooh, let me guess.
Go ahead.
Should have complied.
Didn't comply. Right, didn't comply.
Was told that you're resisting arrest. You should go limp."
Yeah, like,
I know, right. I do.
So his question was, like, why were you holding the other officer's foot? Because if you remember, they're like, "Get off my foot! Get off my foot! Stop resisting!" And then the fourth cop starts pounding her in the face. So his question was, like, why'd you grab his foot? Why'd you hold on to his foot? She's like, "Dude, four people are pulling me, like, four different directions. I'm all fired up. And, like, I don't know." Like, I don't know, have you ever been in a fight? It, like, proved that, like, I mean, let's be honest, like, Esteban Parra is a pussy. Like, he doesn't know what it's like to be in a fucking real fight. And he's the mouthpiece, not of, like, news, but of what the readers want. The question the readers want answered, and actually it's not even a question, it's a statement. The readers say the person should have complied, they should have not, they should have just laid on the ground, and that's it. And his first question was to satiate the reactionary reader's question about her grabbing the guy's foot, basically. So then the second question, and I think I don't want to misattribute it, so I'm not gonna say. I think it was somebody from ABC, like WPVI in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not.
Action News.
Action News. The news van was there. I saw the news van on Orange Street.
That's cool.
Yeah, there's that news van. That's old school. That's old school. I don't know if they still do that or not. He was like, "Well, don't you think that, like, yelling and cursing, you were goading the officers?"
Oh, why? So why did you engage in back talk?
Yeah.
Basically,
like literally, she had to turn. Fair enough. She was like goading. I don't know what you, I want to be clear with my language. I'm not really sure what you mean. And so Igwe comes in and he was like provoking. So then she just says like, yeah, I guess. She was like, I was in a high stress situation. I have PTSD anyway. She actually had an animal in the car that isn't just like an emotional support animal. It is a medically certified, whatever they call it, the service animal. She has a card. She can hang into buildings and things like this. So she has some kind of significant anxiety, PTSD, whatever. So she's like, I'm just yelling. He's like, but you were goading him. You can't curse. I mean, you're cursing at him. I mean, you're gonna have to be beaten for that, I guess. But again, it was the second question was the same as the first question. Just comply. And I'm like, these people are fucking sickos. Real sick. And Igwe, you know, basically said, like, again, okay. You know, she cursed at the guy, told him to go fuck himself, called the woman, said she had too much makeup on, she was a whore, whatever. She's gone crazy. She's just saying crazy shit because she's getting ready. She knew she was getting ready to get beat by three or four cops. So it was like, I mean, what would you do? Like, you know, why'd you grab his foot? Why'd you grab him?
Right.
Why'd you grab? Why didn't you do
Let's
something?
Let's go to the tape. Let's, yeah. Why did you try to keep your balance in that situation?
So today... I go on Delaware Online. I see Esteban wrote a story. I click on the story. I scroll. I'm just skimming it. And then the first section's there. This next section, like the of five sections of this story, like five paragraph sections, whatever, was psychiatrist says PTSD is no excuse for belligerent behavior. And I'm like, bro, we get it.
We get it.
Dude, we get it. Your readers and you, maybe, because you're a fucking moron, just want to basically say, the real question is not why did four cops set upon a person who is basically guilty of a traffic violation, we think. We don't know. We don't know any of this. So the legality of anything is going to be obviously adjudicated. Of course, the legality of what the police did will be adjudicated in secret, and they'll tell you it was okay. But that's neither here nor there at this point. Like, the thing that's getting... the scrutiny. The press is scrutinizing the fact that the woman cursed or held the cop's foot. Like, that's what your local media, your legacy media, is that's what they want to know.
Yeah,
as a priority.
They're speaking for like the hypothetical, ordinary, reasonable Facebook person who would. Be like, no, of course I'd be polite to those four gentlemen, or at least I wouldn't backtalk, or I wouldn't act sassy.
Asking for it.
Yeah, I guess I think so. I think that they either have this notion that like they would never do anything to get in that kind of trouble in the first instance, but then when they're there, they're like, no, I'm going to drive away and be like, phew, or talked my way out of that one. Yeah, I don't think that they perceive their world in one where they can express those kinds of like emotions and those feelings that woman clearly was. She was, you know, having an incident.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And of course, the most rich sort of bit of it. And I wrote something about this because I had an experience watching adults argue about the Rodney King beating.
Yeah,
nobody's
I've read
really
that.
Read it. None of my friends have read it and given me any feedback. It must be bad.
No. But, I honestly, the way that you intro, you wrote the intro. If you want to talk about it, go for it. But yeah, like, I pictured it in my head, like exactly.
Yeah.
Going
so,
down.
So I remember this conversation very often on holidays at my paternal grandparents' house. There would be big arguments about, you know, top politics and topics like that. So I remember this one. And I remember it was about the Rodney King beating. And so I knew 95% of the chance it was going to be a Christmas or an Easter because of the situation it was. So I looked it up, and it just so happens that Rodney King incident was the beginning of March 1991. And this was I think Easter was the end of March. So it's like the perfect sort of timing, right? And so it's 1991. Right. I mean, I'm a junior. I think I'm a junior in high school. My uncle, my dad, my grandfather, my brothers, they're all arguing. And at a particularly heated moment, my uncle gets off of the sofa, goes, puts his stomach, lays stomach face down on the floor, puts his arms behind his back and his legs up behind him like you would rodeo tie a calf and calf roping. Mm. And he just says, if you just do this, that's fine. Like, why didn't you just do this? And I'm like, bro, he's getting hit on the head with a stick. I mean, I was 16? Something like that?
Yeah.
16, 17? Yeah. And I'm like, that doesn't make any sense.
Right.
Like, you're looking at it, and you're like, he's just sort of, like, barely moving around as they just wail on him with sticks. Like, at that point, like, yeah, he's kind of trying to crawl away, I guess. But, like, that didn't pass the smell test in 1991. And I just, that I've always remembered that. But I really remembered it sitting at that press conference because nothing has changed. It's literally 35 years later or whatever it is. Yeah, it's like 35 years later. And the same people are like, look, do what they say or they'll beat the fucking shit out of you or kill you. Mm-hmm. And really, it's your fault. Like, that's the end. I don't know if you watched to the end of the incident, but the driver's on the floor. Literally they're backing up after they're cuffed and somebody says, you know, it didn't have to be like this. I'm thinking like,
cool.
No shit. Like no sense of irony, no self-awareness. She's laying there and he says, it didn't have to be like this. Well, yeah, I guess that's true, but not in the way that you mean it. Not in the way that you mean it.
That's like almost cinematic in nature. In addition to like the way you described like the intro credits and like sort of like setting the scene, like the first placards or something, and then it's like, I know it, this officer, he's like the smart one. He fucking loves movies, and he just says that at the end as they're driving away, end scene.
Yeah, it would be absurd, and kind of like. Like wild to think about if it wasn't like a human being getting beaten for basically nothing. Like, again, the legality of all of this is going to be adjudicated. Both any criminal or traffic violations or charges against the driver or any charges against the police. Now, again, we know this. I said it after Lyman Moses. I said it after everybody. In 9 months' time or whatever happens, the cops are going to be like, actually, the Supreme Court does say you can, and it doesn't really matter because once you tell the cop to fuck themselves, you can be beaten five times in the face or whatever. It's going to be something stupid. That's clear. But yeah, it's just wild to me.
Okay, Esteban, stop.
Come on, Esteban.
I know it's two R's, not one, but. Para.
Yeah. I mean, Esteban, look, I understand what you're doing. I understand what you're doing. You know, you're looking on Facebook, you see all the comments, and you're like, well, they want to know, why'd you grab their boot? Why'd you curse? You're so mean. You're provoking. Like, come on, guys. Get with the program, please. Okay, so part two. The trial of the protester who was arrested outside of Tom Carper's home. I think I said John Carney's home when I was explaining it last time.
You did, yeah.
And I think people know that. Anyway, this is a correction. This is an official correction. For the record, it was Carper's home. And I mentioned that they were defended by a public defender. Alex Schaefer and Beatrice Schaefer, Schaefer and Schaefer, different spellings though. But it was an interesting sort of moment, and I wanted to tell you about it because mm-hmm. you're the person who is gonna would appreciate this the most.
Can't wait.
So I walk into the court, and I know. So Alex had told me that the JP Court 20 is on the 7th floor. And there's a window in the hallway, and then they just assign whatever's there. They'll assign you a courtroom as you sit there and just kind of wait, whatever. So I walk into the courthouse, and the media, so this is like 1 o'clock in the afternoon. The door to the press room is closed. But I'm like, well, I'm part of the press. I'm going to open this door.
You got a badge.
So I buzz myself in, see what they're doing. And Lex is there. Lex is there. And the guy, you know, Jeff Montgomery?
I knew the name.
Guy in, yeah. I knew the name, too. Yeah. I didn't get introduced to him until I came back afterwards, because Kay Baker was there afterwards. But I got introduced to him, but he was there. So Lex is there in, like, a T-shirt and shorts. His arm's all fucked up. I'm like, what's going on, dude? He's like, why are you here? And I'm like, you're supposed to leave the door open so you get these kind of tips. So I tell him, you know, in the JP court, they're doing this protester's getting taken to trial, bench trial,
right?
And they're getting defended by a public defender. He was like, that sounds like it's up my alley. He's like, but JP court has, like, some sort of dress code because, you know, people could come in, like, all, you know. So he was like, that's okay. I brought long pants. I'm going to go change it. So he had to go to the men's room to change into long pants to go to the court, right? So that's the first.
I mean, he was prepared.
Like, he knew it could possibly happen.
Yeah.
So he was like, I got to put trousers on, proper trousers. Classic. So he comes up, and I'm chatting with the attorneys, and I'm chatting with some of the family that's there. I did notice that the city solicitor came over to the defense attorneys and was like, well, and I couldn't really make out, obviously, exactly what he was saying, but come to find out, like, there were three sort of cops involved. One lieutenant gave, like, the orders to do something, but the person who actually, like, arrested him and executed those orders, like, didn't get subpoenaed properly.
Okay.
So that guy wasn't even there. So he was like, so the city solicitor was like, well, I'm just going to introduce the evidence that he told him. And she's like, I don't agree. He's like, well, I think it's fine. She's like, I guess we'll find out.
Yeah.
Like, she's like, it's not fine. Yeah. This is like, I'm going to object for hearsay in the first question. Yeah, whatever. Okay. But sitting there, Lex is there, and we're just waiting to get assigned to courtroom. I see Lex has this huge fucking scar, or like road burn from his shoulder down to his elbow. I'm like, bro, what the fuck? He's like, You know when they have those big storms that are like 100-year storms, like once every 100 years?
Well, now that we have every summer.
Yeah. He goes, I had my once every 2 years brush with death on my bike. Yeah, he just fucking ate it. He was going up through like
Marcus Hook
and Chester, like trying to get over to the International Highway to get up. Like, he was, I don't know if he was in like an Eddystone. I don't know where the fuck he was. No, maybe he was in like Essington.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, he was flying along, and his trouser or his shoe got caught between the tire, and he tried to pull it out, but by the time he got it out, he had flipped over his bike.
Oh.
And I'm like, bro, you almost broke your back like 3 years ago. What the fuck is your problem, bro? Like, this is not working. He was just like, he just shrugged. He was like, whatever. Classic Lex.
I'm Lex Wilson. Welcome to Jackass.
that could potentially be the title of this episode. You're like, this is just what he does. People are like, look, he lives in a hostel. I don't know. Is he an adult? Apparently.
Yeah. Verified.
Yeah. So we get to the courtroom, go in. I got the judge's name, and I didn't find out until later that the JP judge was like an ex-state cop. Sits down, but again, just like we were telling Steve, like, totally professional thing.
Yeah.
The solicitor calls the lieutenant, and the lieutenant's like, yeah, I told them they couldn't bang a drum. I told them that. I told the guy to tell them. She's like, objection. Hearsay. He was like, well, it's something, and then like they let some one question go. And then she was like, so what did you exactly tell him, and what did he say? And she was like, objection. He was like, I'm going to have to sustain this one.
Yeah.
So they go. They show the body cam footage. The body cam footage is just like he pulls up in the car. Like, after this is all going on, this is like the lieutenant, like the supervisor. He pulls up. He sits there a minute. He turns his body cam on. And he's sitting there. It's like, okay. Gets out of the car. The body cam kind of comes. It's like a 30-second or 1 minute sort of like a sound lapse where it's on, but the sound doesn't start for like a minute or whatever. So he gets out of the car. And they're playing like something on a speaker. And he goes, I said no drums. I'm confiscating these drums. And she's like, whoa, okay. So the woman who got arrested was like, okay, whoa. He said no drums. We don't have drums. We're not using the bullhorns. What are you talking about? He's like, I'm confiscating this drum. She's like, first of all, that's a speaker.
Me drum.
That's I don't know if you've ever seen a drum.
That is so weird.
That's a speaker. So she's like, you can't take the speaker. She goes, if you don't let me take that drum, you're going to be arrested for something. She's like, whoa. We talked to this guy, told us what we could do. Like, I'm a little bit confused. You keep calling a speaker a drum, and I'm a little bit confused. Arrest her. Boom. They arrest her for whatever the charges were. It was like a misdemeanor resisting and some other noise thing. So that's what you see, right? And like, okay. So on cross, she's like, well, when you got out of the car, I didn't hear any drumming. I did hear a little bit of that speaker, but like, there was no drums or anything. He was like, "That was before. It was before the camera, during that lapse where there was like no, before I turned my camera on, I heard drumming.
I swear there was drumming.
I swear." So she's like, "Okay."
I'm picturing like one of those. There's probably a name for it. The marching band drums with like, you got two hands going. It's off your stomach.
Yeah, you have to wear it over like over your shoulders thing. Yeah. Yeah, and so they step down. He wants to call another officer.
Surprise
that wasn't
witness.
The guy though. Wasn't the guy. So the whole thing was like, I told him I told the guy to tell him this. I went there. I thought they weren't doing what I told the guy to tell him to do, even though it's kind of weird. Like the shit I was saying was weird, but they didn't even have that guy. There was just some other guy. So again, Alex stands up and says, I got to object to this witness on these grounds. It was some sort of like redundancy grounds. Like, we don't have this guy. You're going to tell this guy. It's another person that this guy told something to. Like, I don't remember what the technical objection was, but it was basically like, this is redundant and it doesn't get to the thing that we need to get to.
Right.
And the judge is like, yeah, I'm going to have to, this witness can't testify. So this man says no to that witness. So they go, they whisper a little bit, whatever. And, I guess he just goes, like, defense rests. And then there's, like, this pause. And then Alex, like, I guess, looked up and she's like, Your Honor, has the defense rest? He's like, yes. Great. I'm going to make a motion to vacate the charges. They didn't even point out whether the defendant's in the room today.
Yeah.
They didn't present this witness, blah, 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 blah. And so I'm making this motion. And the guy's like, yeah, I pretty much agree with you. We're gonna go ahead and throw this all out. He goes, there's an outstanding. So the noise and the resisting were thrown out, and then got something like a summary acquittal or whatever it's called. But there was still like, well, you can still do a disorderly conduct ticket. So I don't know whether she'll get that or not. But like, and then he just gets up. We all get up. This the whole thing took like an hour and 15 minutes.
Right.
Lex stands up. We're walking out. We're kind of like making fun of the cops and stuff. And Lex is like, I've never seen anything like that. That's fucking hilarious. I think Lex has interviewed the person who was acquitted and I think has talked to Alex Schaefer too. So I think he might write it up just because it's just sort of an interesting story.
It is. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that. I hope he could publish it.
Thank God he brought those long trousers. He wouldn't have even been able to get in there.
Yeah. I think they could have used a surprise witness, Senator Tom Carper.
Oh, my God. Did you see that video of that motherfucker?
I did. Man. That's another one that's like, man, all these folks are so old. Like, I know we've all forgotten at this point, but like, Dianne Feinstein wasn't that long ago. That was like more visible. Like, that one was excruciating to watch.
Yeah, this one's a little.
He's doing that thing where, I don't know, he's like hustling. He's like trying to beat the rush of people, but he just seems a bit, weaker than he was.
Look, now's probably the time to talk about it. Uncle Joe, he's not doing great. I know we're not supposed to talk about it here in Delaware. He's not doing good. Sometimes you're doing good, and sometimes you're not doing any good. And the thing is, it's like more time doesn't solve this problem.
No, it should make things worse.
It's going. I mean, there's no. They're like, oh, he'll snap out of it when he's 85. Like, that's not really how this works. Which again, for regular people, it's just like, well, you deal with it. You know, you have your parents or your grandparents, mm-hmm. Your aunts and uncles and whatever. And people, you know, if they live to an old age, their body starts breaking down. Their brain doesn't work right. They can't see. All that stuff. But when you're like, when you're this guy, and you're supposedly in the biggest election of our lifetimes, we're fighting literal Hitler fascism.
Mm-hmm.
Which is funny, too, because you notice, like, here, there's a funny little lie. You're online, so you probably, and everybody who sort of follows this stuff sort of sees, like, Gavin Newsom in the shadows, like, already, like, poking in. He's already doing stuff, put stuff on social media, making statements, doing all this stuff.
Right.
So you can kind of see, like, he's running in 4 years, right? I mean, that's...
He's doing that thing. The American Psycho thing.
Yeah. So... if the Democratic Party think that this is the last election and if Trump wins, we're never going to have another one, what's Gavin Newsom doing running in 4 years? Like,
that's a great point.
Like he doesn't believe it.
Yeah.
He thinks it's fine. And, you know, like Biden said at the Stephanopoulos interview, he was like, well, if I do lose, as long as I feel personally satisfied that myself and my close friends and family did their level best, then, you know what? Fuck it.
Hey, Trump was president before, and, like, we're still here.
Yeah, the whole thing...
I think that's the attitude.
The whole thing doesn't make sense. And people are starting to, like, get that. They're like, wait a minute. So Trump was the president for 4 years. Gavin Newsom is obviously running in 4 years from now. Is this really, like, the end of it? Is this the end of days? I don't think so. No, I'm not saying Trump is good. The guy's very bad. Biden's also pretty bad. And, you know, and we can talk about the lesser of two evils if you want to, but since this guy can't put two fucking sentences together, that's not really, like... I wanted to write a cold open. Now, yeah. This is a good question. So, I want to do, like, an online poll. When Joe Biden loses to Trump, whose fault will it be? Bernie Sanders, Jill Stein, Ralph Nader, the DSA, or the Highlands Bunker podcast?
Oh.
Like, it could be, and it could be some combination of all of that. You know whose fault it's not going to be?
Who's that?
Joe Biden's fault.
No,
because we can only fail him. We're not cooperating. We're being uncooperative. You know, if we just... would be like, yes, he can't speak. He probably doesn't know where he is. He needs pictures to find his way to the podium.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, you know, we just have to deal with that because Trump, Project 2025.
Yeah, whatever that is.
I
was, when you were talking about, you know, how we deal with these things as like family units or. Like in our culture, dealing with folks older than us who go through things like aging and dementia and like other disabilities or handicaps in their autumn of their lives or whatever you want to call it. Like I remember when I was in private practice, I would occasionally have to go to like the hospital to have documents executed, like someone's will or their power of attorney. And there's this concept of testamentary capacity. Basically, is the person who's going to sign this this legal document, like a will, you know, do they know where they are in the world? Do they know what their property is?
Do they know the consequences of what they're doing?
The consequences, exactly, where it's going to go. Like, so who's going to inherit from my estate? And that's why, like, I had to turn off that debate last month, just because I was like, this is like, there's just nothing going on behind the eyes. His mouth is open. And it was difficult to watch. I mean, I turned it off like many people probably did is when he said, I destroyed Medicare.
Yeah.
I mean, that was tough.
Yeah. I think I didn't watch any of it. I saw some of the clips. Like I said, I've said this before. I don't care. I'm not voting for Biden. I'm not telling anybody else what to do. We're in Delaware. I still don't think it matters. He could be dead. He'll get the 3 electoral votes from Delaware. Mm-hmm. Does not matter. I just know that I am not voting for Biden. So put that in your pipe and smoke it. But he sounded like, because I go to the pub, local pub. People in there, they're fucking having talk. All kinds of, it's local drunks. You know, we go in the afternoon to watch the football. So it's mostly like 10 or 15 of the same people. They're all older. They're all hammered. You know, whatever. It's fun. So once in a while, you get some strays get in, and they'll start talking about politics. You can hear people arguing about politics. I usually don't get involved, but when you hear drunk people talk about politics,
yeah,
it's like one of those what do they call those word plots where the words come up? Like you see, like whatever the most frequent word used is the biggest, and it's like
Big,
I forget what they have a name for it.
Yeah,
but yeah, like these drunk people will argue because they read the paper and they see the news, or they're absorbing the news either on the radio or on the television at some point during the day, and they have. Like, they want to have a political allegiance because everybody kind of has something to, you know, they're like, mm-hmm. I'm Trump, I'm Biden, I hate it, I'm this or that. But all they do is just like, it's just random stuff. Like, it's incoherent. It's like, well, the border and Honduras and fentanyl, what about those, what about the economy?
What about Hunter?
Inflation, Hunter Biden, laptop, Hunter laptop. You know, yeah. And it's just like it's all and again, the liberals do the same fucking thing.
Oh, totally. I was going to say, like, they just try and
Project 2025.
They try and one up the other's hypocrisy. And it's just like this escalating game of who can point out the more problematic thing. And it just doesn't get anywhere. Those arguments don't and shouldn't work anymore.
Yeah, I heard there's an adult like a men's adult baseball league. Mm-hmm. Like a hardball baseball league, and once in a while, some of those players will come in to the pub after the games late afternoons on the weekends. And I heard them get in an argument about it. And the guy's like, "Here's the problem: Biden's a fucking liar." They're like, "Well, we got a liar and we got Biden. Well, he's also a liar.
Biden's a huge liar.
Like he's a plagiarist of Neil Kinnock. He said he was like gold in my ears. Fucking, he's somehow like her advisor." He said that he got arrested with Mandela. He said, like, he's just a liar. Like, I think he told Begin that, you know, if Canada invaded like Lebanon's invading, I would give the okay to kill women and children.
Women and children, right.
Like,
everyone.
He's a self-centered, like, prickly old fuck. And people here just have this sort of, like, myth about him because he's from Delaware. But he's, like, a terrible person. So I don't care. I find it very hard to give a shit. And again, I wouldn't even be making fun of him like this if it wasn't for the fact that he's just fucking everything up. Like, he can't talk. He can't function as a professional person, let alone somebody who's going to go fucking speak at NATO or talk to the new leftist government in France.
That's right.
Come on, Mélenchon. But whatever, like he cannot function, and again, you can tell me, oh, I vote for the administration, because of the NLRB or whatever, and that's fine, I guess. But like the guy, like you're asking people to be like, well, I guess the NLRB will still be good. This guy will be a drooling fucking mess. But hey, I guess that's fine. Like maybe it is fine, but it's a weird sell.
And I mean. This isn't a secret. Like, this is not new. This is not a poor debate. This is not, it's not the issue that it was the worst debate of all time. It's that it's like his incapacity potentially is exposed. It's like raw. It is perfectly visible now. And it's not only that, but it's also like he is like he's losing in the polls, like pretty badly. And I think that is another thing that like, why, like, I really thought that the day after the debate, the Democrats would react in like a coherent, like practical way. I think that's another reason why I turned it off, because I was like, I know exactly what's going to fucking happen. They're not going to do anything. It's just going to become this staring contest.
Yeah, because it's like, I mean, this is not a new point. This is not a like a novel thing to point out. But like, the people who would do that have their own agenda, and frankly, like if you're Hakeem Jeffries. It makes more sense to just stick with Biden and he loses and be like, well, it's not my fault. He lost. Like I still do whatever I'm trying to do here. It's like, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. Trump's been president 4 years. I'm going to ride or die, because the political danger is you come out to dump him and he does win and then you're marginalized. But if you don't and he loses, you don't care that Trump's president. Hakeem Jeffries does not fucking care if Donald Trump is president. I got news for everybody. This is the same reason Gavin Newsom clearly doesn't care, because he's running to run in 4 years. So, like, they don't have a coherent message. They couldn't come out with one because all of this stuff is happening. And, like, because it's happening so clearly, you can't, like, the facade, you can see behind the curtain, and it's the guy just pulling, like, the steampunk, pushing the buttons, and, like, oh, has the microphone. Like, it's the guy behind the curtain as the Wizard of Oz.
Well, yeah, I really thought it was going to be, like, Theo Bungler with his hand on his chin, like stroking it and being like, here's what we're going to do. And I honestly did think for a little bit that would happen like the next day.
Barfsack Okrumbo does not care.
Yeah.
He doesn't like, yeah. He's like the Hakeem Jeffries. He's making he's producing Netflix shit and doing AI fucking music lists. What the fuck does he care? He doesn't care if fucking Trump's president. Does not care. So it's the same. It's like, yeah, why would he? He's just all get with the program. I mean, he's the reason he's one of the biggest reasons we're in this mess. So yeah, I can't see him fucking. He's certainly not going to do anything. The issue is, I agree with you that I didn't think anything would happen. I still actually don't think anything will happen.
Yeah.
But the thing that I don't know is how far it's going to deteriorate. Like, he can't speak more. Like, he did a phone interview on TV, I guess a day or two ago, with like notes in front of him just on the phone, and he couldn't even refer to his notes. Like, he does the thing, and he's always kind of done this. He's like, I'll tell you what, Jack, I see what he does. He lies, and then we killed Medic. You know what? Forget it.
Yeah.
Does that. He's like, you know what? Because he knows he knows he's lost.
He doesn't even say, I shouldn't have said that anymore. That was one of my favorites.
He's like, you know, I shouldn't have said that.
That was when you'd get his Irish up, and he'd almost refer to like a woman as a harlot or something. He's like,
yeah, he was like, I don't think you're supposed to say that anymore. It's like the Pope saying the F word, the F slur for
games. He kept doing it.
It's the funniest fucking thing, because obviously the Pope doesn't know. He's just using the word he thinks you use.
Yeah.
And they were like, bro, you can't use the F slur for Gabe. And he's saying it in the context of like, yeah, we have to, everybody has to get together, whether you're homosexual or queer, whether you're an F slur. Mm-hmm. We just have to, you know, love everybody. So it's like, it's not even using it in a derogatory way, but they're like, stop saying it. But he can't stop saying it because it's just the word that he knows because he's old, because he's like Joe Biden. But it doesn't matter because he doesn't have any political power, really.
Right.
He just sits there and does what the fucking Pope does. So it doesn't matter that he's in a wheelchair. I mean, the guy still speaks 8 languages. He's coherent. Mm-hmm. Like, he can speak in 8 different languages in a perfectly coherent way in a conversation. He just uses the F-slur.
Right.
He's trying his best.
Yeah, I feel like if there is going to be a change, it's going to be either like a faked or very real illness.
I thought that too. You know what?
And then you get Kamala elevated, and then you can, I think, in like the people who are like, let's game this out, like in their heads, I think they like crave like a normal succession plan here. Like the chaos, and I don't think it would even be that chaotic. But the perceived chaos of like, hey, a little mini primary in like at the end of the summer or whatever it goes down, something at the convention. I don't know how all those rules work.
I heard somebody say they could, because they were already planning to meet virtually to try to get around. Well, first of all, they were trying to get around this Ohio law that said they had to have him nominated by a certain date or he wouldn't be on the ballot in Ohio.
Oh.
But I think the Ohio legislature fixed that. They just, it's like, we just fixed the bug.
Fixed the glitch.
We just fixed the glitch. But they still might do it to be able to nominate him so nothing happens at the convention. So the convention, like, is he going to give a speech, like a 45-minute speech at the convention?
No.
How's he going to fucking do that?
Hell no. It'll be pre-taped.
The AI. You know, I do like the AI thing because they came out with, like, when he said he was going to run, they have him doing it. But you can tell, like, his mouth, they're just trying to match his mouth to the audio that they've all cut together that sounds coherent.
Right.
And I'm like, bro, nobody's buying this, man. No. Nobody's buying it.
No, man, we saw, this was like 4 years ago, we saw your eyeball fill up with blood. Trigger, TW, Robbo. TW.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Actually, I do mean that.
I'm like, Oh my god! Oh god! I'm so triggered.
He did that. I remember he like they lied about him falling in his shower and blamed it on their poor dog at first.
That dog,
poor oily dog. Yeah, we've known about this for a long time.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the idea was that like the party people who would have done this online thing for those reasons that I said could also have like as just a series of straw polls. And be like, okay, it's Kamala, it's this, you know, whatever, and just sort of figure it out like that. It's a little bit behind the scenes, but frankly, like, I thought the first couple of days, I thought potentially, because you never know about this stuff, mm-hmm. Biden could do the thing where he's like, you know what, I can't cut it. And my dad always said, he said, Joey, if you can't cut the mustard, then leave the fork in the drawer. You know, or whatever. Like, just like, he'll just say
just, like,
something.
Just wipes a tear.
Yeah. Like, he'll just make up some story that his dad told him, and he'll just be like, you know, I really believe in Kamala, and that's what we're doing. And then just, like, slowly slide off the stage. Yeah. Like, I would at least respect that. And I don't want to say, like, I know the big thing is coconut pilled. Everybody's like,
oh, yeah.
Everybody loves it because it's like, do not come, and all that stuff. And you're part of the context of all this, which came before you.
Yes.
So I'm not necessarily coconut pilled, but I certainly would be, even as a radical sort of, like, non-electoral person, I would be open to hearing what she had to say, you know. Here he is. Breaking news. Breaking news.
Carl, get on the third mic.
Back from special assignment, K. Foster Stomberg. How'd it go? We don't even know how it went.
Yeah, it was...
Is it good? Good news, bad news?
It's funny, because there was actually two things. One was a personal thing.
Oh.
Exempt from FOIA.
Black bars. And the other was a political thing that I also cannot talk about that is very, very exciting.
It's exciting.
It's very exciting.
We did say we were going to do more plugs. So, again, next Tuesday, the 16th, at the Route 9 Library, we'll add it. Come to the Newcastle County Police Accountability Board. We'll be talking more about this. Is it tomorrow? If this comes out Friday, is the summit tomorrow?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There's still time, though. If you're hearing this on Friday.
Yeah, no, you can show
July
up on the 13th day of.
Just fucking show up.
July 13th.
July 13th.
Yeah. July 13th in Dover. I unfortunately cannot go this year because of my medical issues, but I am supportive of this like you can't even believe. Bill and I we worked it last year. It was awesome.
That was a great
program. Right in that kitchen.
Yeah, but it was a great program, tons of great breakout sessions with, like, just tons of people that you're going to want to network with. Like, if you listen to this.
That's why they call it Network Dollar.
That's why they call it that. It's an organizer summit, And we talked about it a little bit last year. It's really great, and so we'll put stuff in the show notes because again, you can sign up today. You can just show up tomorrow. Sign yourself up. Figure out what's going on. There's all kinds of stuff. There's interactive stuff. There's panel discussions. I don't know the whole program. I should have talked to Kirsten about it, but it was really great last year, and I highly recommend it. So that's the second. Second plug.
If you DM, we'll send you a Google Doc that has the agenda on it.
There you go.
What's the name of the church in Dover?
It's something Christ Church. It's right downtown.
Yeah,
it's the one that has the. I don't know. Is it Caesar Rodney? No, not Caesar Rodney. It has a very old 17th century
Christ Episcopal Church.
Christ Episcopal Church. Yeah.
523 South State Street, Dover, Delaware, 19901.
Yeah, high recommend. So that's our second plug. Third plug. You guys ready for this? Because I made another big booking for the second annual Delaware Call Fall Classic.
Oh, is it
19th century baseball and picnic.
Beautiful.
It will be there will be Uncle John's barbecue truck from Philadelphia. Philly Pike guy. Mm. Uncle John's barbecue.
You can get Joe Thwett.
Ba-dum-bum.
You're under arrest.
That's always going to be
my motivation.
What am I doing here? The way we're going to do it this year is there'll be a hospitality tent. So tickets to the game are going to be $25, but for $60 you get a ticket to the game and the hospitality tent, which is basically open bar. So that's fun. There'll be local beers, white wine, and such. Unfortunately, Dino'd ice cream van is not available, so we're gonna have to do, we're gonna have to go Plan B on the treats. I have a couple ideas. I'm thinking water ice, but I don't know. We'll figure it out. But yeah, that's gonna be Saturday, September 21st. It's gonna be at the Yorkland Center for Creative Arts. There's gonna be an email going out this week if you get the Delaware Call emails, and then we will link to that as well, because yeah, $25 will help us out. And it's fun. I mean, we didn't get great weather last year, but we pushed it a little earlier in the year. I think more people are available this time. There's not as many conflicts. So yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited for, you know, more people to come out. I did have three new balls made. They're right over there behind Carl. So I have new town balls just arrived from Cooperstown. There we go. Well, we're gonna wrap up. Well, we're still gonna talk, but you're not gonna listen to any of it because we talked enough to you all. I want to leave with one thing. It's going to be the last plug, but there's a story behind it. Found out today that some of our comrades in that pro-Palestinian movement, we talked about the trial before of the woman who was arrested outside Carper's, they're taking more charges. So you may know that there was disruptions on the last day of a legislative session. They were trying to pass the ceasefire amendment to the Senate, so there was disruptions for remembering Gaza, pro-Palestine. So there was arrests. Well, I think it was prior to that. I don't know what the dates are. There was some Pride event, I think in Wilmington, where I guess they bird-dogged Sarah McBride or something. And so the state police have charged a few people in that. They have to turn themselves in 24 hours, I think. I just found that out today. So they've probably already turned themselves in for whatever incident happened at the Pride event. So they're cracking down. I think that's clear. Here's what I will say. It's not going to stop. I know a lot of these people. I know the work they're doing. As I've already said, you know, people are going to get behind what they're doing. They're going to get behind what we're doing, but we're all going to start moving together on things, and it's going to start moving a lot quicker soon. But keep these people in your mind, because they are really putting themselves on the line now. You know, we were making a joke about in the last episode about the city council noise ordinance thing, because they're talking to Shanae about it and all that, And again, it's just indicative of, you know, the law and order approach to dissent. So just keep these comrades in our minds.
Bang on the drum all day.
Yeah, bang. I don't want to work. I'm going to bang on the drum all day. He's like, I'm gonna take this drum. Sir, that's a speaker. It's not a drum. Look, if you don't let me confiscate this drum, you're going to be arrested. She's like, I don't want to be arrested. And this is a speaker. I heard it. When did you hear it? Before the thing went on, of course. What did you tell him? And what did he say to you? I'm going to have to object to this whole line of questioning. Yeah, crazy.
Carl, it was a great drum bit earlier in the
So the last plug is on Friday, August 23rd. I think that can. At Clifford Brown Walk at 6:30 p.m. Hanif Salam and I are going to throw a little party. We're going to have music. We're going to have food. If you've ever been to Clifford Brown Walk, it's kind of a nice little spot there. They got a little stage and everything. And we're going to have speakers to sort of rally the neighborhood and get the news out about not only what the cops are doing, but what they're doing to the accountability and the credibility and the transparency that we're trying to add to this process. So we're going to get that news out to the people. This week, we confirmed two big speakers. I think you know them. One is Lakeisha Nix, sister of Lamont Moses. And one is Keandra McDowell. Now, we're also going to book other speakers. But I would love for people to come out. That's what it's going to be. There's going to be no politicians are going to be speaking. There's going to be no tabling, so you don't have to worry about that shit. Come out, have some food, listen to music, and, you know, just represent the folks. So there'll be more information on this coming soon. But it'll be Friday, August 23rd, 6:30, Clifford Brown Walk. Rally for really justice and peace, but for police reform, too. Left is best.